I mean, somebody looked at my gun today and said that it was an abomination. Somebody, one of these protesters pointed at my gun and said, "That's an abomination to Jesus." Thinking, no, sodomy is an abomination, you know. But they're pointing at this gun, you know, and saying it's an abomination. People are being brainwashed today. Now, let me just show you some key scriptures on having a weapon, okay? It says in Luke 22, verse 35, and, you know, we got to go here because otherwise people will say, you know, get out of the Old Testament, you know. So I got to start with the New Testament. Luke 22, 35 says, and he said to them, "When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything?" And they said, "Nothing." Then said he unto them, "But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." Is God against us owning weapons in the New Testament?
No.
Jesus said, "Now that I'm going to the cross, I want you to have a sword. I want you to have a weapon. If you don't have a sword, sell your garment and buy one." And you say, "Oh, well, that wasn't a literal sword. That was just the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God." But look what it says in verse 38. It says, "They said, Lord, behold, here are two swords." And he said unto them, "It is enough." So look, two swords is enough. Zero is not enough. Okay. Now you say, "Well, Pastor Anderson, you know, I can't afford a gun. You know, I can't do it." You know, then you need to at least have a good knife or a machete or a chainsaw. A battle axe, you know, a ninja star. You know, I mean, you need to have something. It's a good idea to have. I mean, you know what? You know what actually is a really effective weapon? A baseball bat.
That's right.
Very cheap, very easy to get. And you know what? When I was first married, my wife and I were very poor, and I did not have a gun for a long time. We were too poor. Guns are expensive, and we barely got by. And I had a metal baseball bat under the bed. I mean, that's an effective weapon. I mean, it's because, you know, if anything happened in the middle of the night, it's going to be close quarters. So, you know, I just grab that metal baseball bat and start swinging it, you know. Now, I'm not saying bring a baseball bat to a gunfight, but I am saying that a baseball bat's better than nothing. And, you know, the Lord knows what you have and what you don't have. He knows your financial situation. And if you're poor and you can't afford a gun, then you could get some kind of a weapon that's just, you know, I mean, go find a lead pipe somewhere, for crying out loud. You know, I mean, it wasn't that, and somebody killed somebody with that in the board game Clue, right? You know? I mean, what do you, the candlestick, for crying out loud, you know, the rope, you know, use something to be able to defend. You know, you say, "Well, I'm just going to rely on the Lord to protect me." You know what? People in the Bible always relied on the Lord to protect them, but they also built a wall around the city when God told them to. And they also built machines of war, and they also learned how to use swords and shields and things. So yes, we want to rely on the Lord. Here's a key verse. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. So we should prepare, but at the end of the day, we trust the Lord. But that doesn't mean just no preparation and trust the Lord. No, we do what we can humanly, and then we rely on the Lord to do the rest. Okay, so I recommend owning a weapon. Go to Deuteronomy 23. Now that we got the New Testament for you, let's go to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 23. And look, if you say, "Well, Pastor Anderson, what gun should I buy?" I think that the best gun is a shotgun. Because it's cheap, it's effective, it's going to stop an invasion, it's going to stop somebody. You know, you load it with buckshot. It's not going to spread out too crazy at close quarters. You know, you can do a lot with it. And you know, say, "Well, it only holds, you know, 7 rounds or whatever." They call it rounds with the shotgun. I'm not really a gun nerd, so I don't know all the right terminology. So excuse me if I say anything wrong. But I definitely know how to shoot my shotgun. And I've shot it many hundreds of times. And I know that even though it only holds 7 of the shotgun shells, each one has 9 projectiles in it if you're running buckshot. So you can pull the trigger 7 times and you're sending 63 projectiles. That's a lot of lead. Okay. So don't you love to come to church and learn these things? You know. So, you know, a shotgun is a good home defense. Even Joe Biden wants you to have a shotgun, for crying out loud. You know, our liberal Democrat vice president tells you to buy a shotgun. If he's telling you to do it, good night. Just do it. But until then, a baseball bat. You know, until then, a butcher knife. I don't know, whatever, you know. Deuteronomy 23, verse 12, it says, "Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad. And thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon. And it shall be, when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee." This is talking about basic camping sanitation, because the children of Israel are camping for 40 years in the wilderness. They are wandering in the wilderness and they don't have a permanent dwelling place. And he says, don't use the restroom in the middle of the camp. You know, you always have to tell that to the new people that are camping. Go far from the camp to use the restroom. Okay, so he says, don't ease yourself in the camp. You need to ease yourself abroad, so you should have a paddle on the back of your weapon so that you can dig a hole to deal with that which goeth from you. But here's the thing. He just assumes that you have a weapon. He doesn't even tell you, get a weapon and then put a paddle on it. He just says, put a paddle on your weapon that you already have. Because you're normal, because you're a man, you have a weapon. It's just like expected that you have a weapon. Some people have said, you know, what was this weapon that you'd have a paddle on that you could dig with? Obviously, it was the stock of their AK-47. You know, it had a paddle. You know, it had a little shovel stock. No, I'm just kidding. Obviously, they didn't have guns back then. But whatever weapon, it, you know, whatever the spear or whatever, you know, God said that they needed to have something to dig with, you know, other than like a Swiss Army knife, you know, because a Swiss Army knife has all these different tools and things. So this is like the Swiss Army weapon, the Israeli Army weapon, where it had a little thing to dig with, whatever the weapon. I'm sure it was something sharp and or something blunt and something that would hurt somebody, whatever it was. So anyway, I'm just showing you those scriptures to show you that Deuteronomy 23 kind of assumes that the children of Israel had weapons. And then Jesus is saying, hey, if you don't have one, go buy one. And again, I'm not telling you to go put yourself into financial straits and borrow money to go buy weapons. You know, I'm not necessarily even telling you to sell your garment and buy one, because honestly, you know, you can't really sell garments today for any amount of money unless you're wearing a mink coat. If you own a mink coat and you don't own a weapon, by all means, sell it and buy a shotgun. But otherwise, you know, just get something and then you slowly upgrade your weapon. Start with the baseball bat. You know, you move up to the katana. You know, then you move up to, you know, the shotgun. You know, and then the bazooka. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, you move up. I mean, a shotgun is a great home defense. The only downside of the shotgun is you can't really take it with you as easily as a handgun. But, you know, most of the time you just need it for home defense, because, you know, at night is when evil people do their thing at night. So anyway, be a protector, learn some basic fighting, don't just be so metroed out that you can't even learn a little bit of fighting and learn a little bit of shooting, and just kind of man up a little bit. And it's going to be good for you anyway. Your wife's going to like you more anyway when you do that. And then you could be a better protector. And then she can feel safe, for thou art with her. Okay? But let's look at the next scripture, verse 5. It says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." You know, the Bible's really clear on salvation. It's not based on how good you are. A lot of people think they're pretty good, you know, and yeah, they're going to get to heaven because they're pretty good. But the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I'm not righteous, you're not righteous. And if it were our goodness that would get us into heaven, none of us would be going. Because the Bible even says in Revelation 21:8, it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and sorcerers and whoremongers and idolaters," and listen to this, "and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone until the second death." I've lied before. Everybody's lied before. So we've all sinned, and we've done stuff worse than lying, let's face it. We all deserve hell.